Our annual report was approved yesterday, and I will have to check if the funds have been released or not, so that Marie-Angelique Elizabeth's concerns would be addressed at that point. But as soon as we have the funds, there will be an amendment to the subcontracts to Chris, you, and other folks, as well as biodiversity and things like that. Yeah. So it, you would see some more forms coming in for next year's amendment. Okay. And
I'm not totally sure what that means, but maybe we can follow up later.
Yeah, it's just we had the year one subcontract signed.
Mm-hmm.
Now to add the year two money, there would be an amendment to the first year that releasing funds, and the scope of the work stays the same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And second one, Marie-Angelique Leo is not here, but I just submitted your forms for international travel.
Okay.
And, yeah, and if gets approved, I will cover your travel.
Oh, okay. Thank you,
Pankaj. So go ahead and make your reservations, but don't buy the ticket right now.
Ah, we have already the tickets.
You have the tickets?
Yes.
Which airlines?
Qatar Airways.
Which one?
Qatar Airways.
Qatar Airways is, yeah. Oh my goodness. Is it a code share? It's not a code share partner. Okay, so I can talk to Elizabeth about it and see how it works on that side. Okay, so I will try to see if I can cover it from myself.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, those are the only two things that I had for the project right now.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. You guys can take over.
Okay. I wasn't sure if anyone else is joining us, but Justin Elser was supposed to be joining. He might just be running a little bit late, and he has to leave early. So the part that he was going to talk about when he arrives, maybe we'll stop and do that because he's got an appointment at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll go ahead and share my screen. Let's see which desktop. I'll just do it here. Oh.
No.
I don't want to do that. Everybody still there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Zoom gets a little confused because both of us are running on it. So maybe we should go ahead and talk about the changes and the CO files and what we've been doing with rice, cassava, and lentil, and that, you know, and then maybe talk about the OBA stuff that you had mentioned, Chris, because I don't know how long you can stay on the call.
Okay.
Yeah. So you had sent some questions by email yesterday. Where we stand with building the version of Amigo with CO classes merged in. So we have kind of a dev version right now that has cassava, lentil, and rice. And so you guys should be able to see my screen, right, with the browser?
Yes.
Yes, okay, good. So this is an example, one of our favorite example terms, plant height. And one of the changes we've done in the last few days is Marie has added the common name, and as Pankaj requested last week, to have that in lowercase, and the trait names are now in lowercase, so it looks a little cleaner. So under plant height, we would have cassava plant height, lentil plant height, and then you'll see down here is rice plant height, so there's the three CO classes that belong to that. And then your second question, Chris. Have we decided how and where they will be stored? Right now, they're in the OBO file.
So go back to your previous view. So how are these ontologies loaded in the Amigo? Is that the OWL file or OBO file coming from CO?
It's coming from GitHub, but so you can see on the load thing here, which isn't actually completely and accurate, and Justin could probably answer this question better, but you can see here the cassava trait ontology file here.
Oh, so this is actually coming from the OBO file.
Yes. So we're loading the OBO file, yep.
Okay, so I wanted to avoid that situation.
Why?
Right, Chris? because we wanted to bypass the OBO, we wanted to have all work with the, your TD files where the mappings are actually stored.
Right. But Marie has set up a pipeline whereby this isn't the source version of Cassava trait, and we should actually have proper Perls for these, which is one of the things my question was about. But really, this isn't the actual Cassava trait ontology, I believe. This is a merged version of the Cassava trait ontology with the bridge file. And at the moment, that with the bridging axioms. And those bridging axioms come from, I guess, a Google spreadsheet, which is your preferred way of maintaining them. And if that's your preferred way, that's fine. So I think this is fine. I would just like to do some things like make sure that we have meaningful Perls that resolve for each of these. Kind of like merge the versions of the trait intelligence.
So what is happening over here is that right now, Murray actually can draw. You have a CO file, which is in TD format. You convert that into OBO, right?
Yes. Yes.
And you do these mappings. And
generally, that's the way
and
it works.
That file is loaded in the Amigo.
Right.
And then we are showing it over here.
Right. That's how it gets into.
Right.
And Justin could speak to how that loading goes.
That's right. Yeah. Which is meaning that right now, CO has to maintain the OBO files. And
No, they don't really. I mean, the cases are a little bit different because Cassava, they're using an OBO file. The lentil and the rice are not in OBO format.
So what we discussed at the meeting is that we store the mappings in the TD file or a version of a TD file. And then it gets converted into TSV or CSV format, where Chris's tool would generate the relations and create a TO plus CO version, which gets loaded in the Amigo.
I'm not sure which tool you're talking about.
Wait. And we will create a slice of, let's say, a Cassava OBO after this merge version has happened. And so it will be a read-only OBO version for each species. And so that the CO doesn't have to maintain the OBO files. It will be automatically generated from our end. Their side, CO side, only the TD files and their TD mappings have to be maintained.
So I think that's more or less, that's kind of, the end product is the same here.
Yeah.
It's just a different division of responsibilities. Marie Angelique's doing more work.
No, but that is true. But right now...
Don't worry, these OBOs are all read-only. So even...
These are read-only. That is true.
We're not editing them. Yeah.
That is true. But the upper level tree, ontology tree in these OBO files is coming from TO or is it coming from?
It's coming from TO. All the upper level categorical terms have been removed.
Have been removed.
A few that they have, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like I think if we look at, if I show you Cassava plant height, then we can look on the graph view here. Yeah. So see, this is cleaner now.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think it's sort of like two different ways to get to one end goal, and I can see where you're going with this, but this is kind of the steps that we needed to go through to figure these processes out, you know, and how this would look together and how the mappings would work.
So what is it that actually sits in the COOBO files right now?
It's just the trait method scale and variables, and for the traits, we have... For each trait, we have a superclass that is a TO term.
Okay.
So we don't have the entire TO hierarchy. So this is not really a slice of the TO for Cassava, for example.
Yeah.
This is just the threat method, scale, and variables.
Okay, yes. The bridging action. This is perfectly. This is great.
Mm-hmm. And each CO trait has, like Marie said, the upper level term. Mm-hmm. Its parent term is the TO term.
So if I'm looking at it here, the COOBO file has only this CO term and any child of this thing. But anything above it is not in that OBO file.
Right.
Right? So what I was wondering is that, what I was suggesting is that because, for example, in tomorrow, somebody wants a CO slice with all the TO hierarchy on it, right? Then they are not getting it. So we want to have a round trip, say, dump the view that we are seeing be dumped back into the COOBO file, which and any of the applications can use it.
And this is very easy to do. We just create an importer ontology.
Yes.
So we need to, this is why it's much easier if we have the Perl set up for each of the ontologies, but that should be easy. But then we'll just have something that will be called /TO/ I don't know what naming convention we use, let's say species or CO, and then the name of the species .owl, and then it will contain an importer to this file, which has just the CO, the species CO, plus the bridging axioms, and it will also import the TO. Yeah. And when you do that, everything just merges into the right place.
Right. So whether we want to go back and merge the work that we do this with the upper level hierarchy as a separate file, or we should not be rewriting the original CO file, right?
No, there's no need to, especially if, well, it depends what the use case is and who wants to download these files. But I would recommend just providing the OWL importer ontologies.
Right. So for example, if Afola is loading the OBO file in his database, then he will get this slice along with the TO hierarchy for his purposes.
Well, I think FLAB is a special case here, so we should maybe discuss him separately from all the others. Same with Zoe.
No, but in general, because people have an option to use the whole TO with the merged CO, or they may say we just need the slice of the cassava CO or slice of the lentil CO along with the TO hierarchy. Right,
but I still think I'd like to know more about the cassava case, because that's a special case. But for all the others, it's very clear. The editing is in the TD5XL file. Uh-huh. The mappings go in the separate Google Doc, at least until we have TD6, where they can go in the same file.
Right.
That's all people do when they're editing. Mm-hmm. When people want to consume it, there's a variety of options. They can go to Amigo. We can make an importer for each ontology and so on. And that works. I think that solves all use cases.
Yes. I think all three options are available for them. Mm-hmm. Load directly from TD or from your complete TO or from the importer file for a species specific one. Right, so I'm fine with that. So however we want to do it, that's absolutely fine.
Okay.
So my purpose was to minimize the overhead on the Murray's side to maintain multiple files. That was my only concern.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, does that work, Murray?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really maintaining the file since...
Yeah, it's on.
Every time someone edits a TD, I'm using the same script, no matter the crop, to generate an OBO file, and
Mm-hmm.
So and we are fine then.
Yeah, and some of the issues that we've been dealing with in terms of Amigo, you know, is that we have this problem that the relationships are not being displayed, besides isn't part of, and what happens there is that you can't see the relationship between, like, this trait plant height and the methods and the scales. So originally when we did this back in November, we had mapped the variables. And so right now what we're doing is making sure that all these mappings are right on the trait. And in order to as a workaround right now, because we haven't heard anything about any changes in Amigo yet.
Yeah, no, I've been feeling a change. I mean, Seth can only, you know,
I know. Can I finish what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what Marie did was she actually put an is a relationship between the variable and the trait in the cassava here. So I can show you. See this relationship here, and that way we can see the cassava plant height measurement in centimeters. This is the variable that's related to this. So that way it's at least displayed. And we can change that once, you know, back to the variable of relationship once things move ahead. But
so right now it's a relationship.
Right.
So, but if you go back, I think, to the plant height.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this second term. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a mistake right there. That's still got the old mapping on it to the plant height. Marie and I were just talking about that before the call started.
Yeah, but if you look at rice and lentil, I mean, that works fine.
It's fine in rice and lentil, mm-hmm. Yeah. So so we've been kind of developing this step by step and making changes, and then Marie and I would talk and look at it, and Justin would load them for us. And right now we're working on the wheat mapping because there was some discussion last week about, or earlier this week, that wheat and maize were very important. So those we're looking at right now. And you were just saying, Marie, that there's a little problem with the TD file.
Yeah, there's just one ID, one threat ID that is used also for a method. So when I try to build the OBO file, I'm getting an error.
Right.
So I just send an email to Rosemary and Julian for to ask them to fix this little issue. But all the mappings are done for the wheat.
Right. All the mappings are ready to go pretty well. it makes this really difficult having each of these crops kind of done in different ways. So, as Chris said, they're all their own little flavors.
Their own little special snowflakes.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you see my arrow that I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
So why now plant trait is a child of quality, Pietro?
Yes.
Yes. A plant trait is a quality.
But this one is at the same level as this one.
Yeah, this is just how the browser works, so...
Yeah.
It's flattening the kind of multiple paths.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. If you look at it in Protégé, it kind of makes more sense.
And there's ongoing discussions about other kind of like alternate views here.
Yeah.
So this once we get the Perl set up, you can also, there's the OLS beta view as well, which is quite nice. And we're going to eventually kind of start emulating some of that within Amigo. So what we can actually do is have that get loaded. We mm-hmm. register this kind of complete merge TO with the OBO library, then it will also be visible in right. OLS beta. And you can
the problem with the OLS right now is that it only shows like the release version of the TO.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't show what's on the browser.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is fine.
Yeah, we use this quite a bit.
So we have definitions of cassava plant height then?
Well, we're pulling in whatever is in the file.
Mm. Okay. I'm not tweaking
their definitions. I got enough things to deal with.
That is fine because those are the human readable. Those are application ontologies, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Yeah. So, okay. Mm. Do we have any other questions?
There's a few other things we want to be... Like a lot of the synonyms in the COs are quite specific to that thing. So you'll see like eight as an exact synonym sometimes. So that will, just be warned, that will cause some funny issues when you do kind of autocomplete and things like that. So.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, and we're having that's another Amigo issue we're having too, that we have a tracker open for is that all the synonyms are smushed together.
All the synonyms are but don't worry about that. That will display. I'm talking about kind of autocomplete. So
right, I know it's a separate thing, but we had talked about it in the past,
mm-hmm.
mentioning synonyms. So I just thought I'd bring it up. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the, just a few more kind of plumbing details we need to take care of here. Like, we want to get Perl set up for each of these, and we want to make them resolve. So I can help take care of that. But let me just show you how this works at the moment. Where's the chat one? Oh, here we go.
Do you need the screen, right?
Or you can just click on the link that's in the chat. Or you can switch to me if we're going to do it over next.
Mm. Whatever you want to do. Yeah, I can give you a share.
Yeah.
Or I can drive. Doesn't matter. Whatever you want.
You need to unshare LOL, I guess. Oh, I think we have it.
Yeah. But you can just look at this now. So this is the OBO library Perl configuration for TO. So you can see we've got kind of like IBP Cassava traits. So this means that anything with the Perl OBO library /OBO/IBP-Cassava-traits will resolve to the right place. But we've only done this for three species so far. So we want to, happy with these kind of names.
Where are you reading this from, Chris?
So you see the three? There's the three that correspond to the three IBPs.
Yeah, like these three. Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So this means that any Perl that goes /OBO/TO/IBP dash one of these three will kind of resolve to the right place. Now, we should probably check in a kind of like an OWL file there as well.
Can we do something similar to like our dev version so that it's not just to the released?
Let's get it working with the production one first.
Okay.
And we can, for the dev one, what you can do is you can have catalogs and you can have things checked out locally and just configure it however you like.
Oh, okay.
And so
Chris, we're happy with this name intervention.
This is just to set up Perls, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is really important for having everything kind of work correctly.
Yeah, so one little wrinkle that you should be aware of is that, of course, none of these are the same. Well, so for the lentil and the rice,
mm-hmm.
They're fine. That OBO file is as we talked about. But because of the complication with the cassava OBO file, the OBO file is actually on a branch. Because we don't want to mess up their OBO file. So I just wanted to mention that.
I see. Okay.
That's what's going on.
So we should change that there, but I think we need probably something a little bit better. Like, just like with TO, we have TO edit and then we have the TO release. So we could maybe do something that way. Essentially just give it a different name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, right now it's got a name like, it's got some special name like has crop names or something.
Right.
It's really just a working version.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just where you specify the Perls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Okay.
So we should also be sure that we're happy with the names. I mean, sometimes we say CO, we've got this IBP here thing as well. So as far as the Perl is concerned, if we're stick with this scheme, then the Perls will be /TO/IBP-common-name/traits. So if we're good with that, then let's just stick with this scheme and just add more to here.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, I think so.
And Mary-Angela, do you know how to add the, if you're generating OBO, so you can add a tag that says just kind of OBO. I can do it in the chat window.
Okay.
In the header, it would say something like this.
In the chat. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, great. Mm-hmm.
And so once I change that on the OBO files, we will be able to see if it works or not. But that should be working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I will work on that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and one of the other things that I don't know if this is related or not, but we have kind of talked about, let me just get my Git browser up here. And I think this is something that we need to kind of think about as we move ahead with these files. Is it, there's different namespaces for the scale and the method, and so we have basically four namespaces for each of these, and as we move forward with more crops, it's going to get increasingly complex. So it would be nice if we could have all the rice, and the other problem is you can't look at like all the rice terms together. Well, I guess you could if you went through and like minused all these, but
I think what you shouldn't,
you know, you can't look at the trait with the method and the scale in an easy way, but it'd be nice to have all the rice, the CO or IBP rice in one namespace, and similarly like cassava, and just something to kind of be thinking about, because having four namespaces for each of these little files is...
Well, we could also use subsets here as well. What's under subset at the moment?
Yeah, maybe.
Can you have...
These look like they're coming from Go.
So do we really need to have the ontology source as method and variable separately?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That was my question. This is the way it's put together in the CO.
I don't think it is, because once you start having the relationship, that will determine, right?
Yeah, but we have also, we specify also the namespace.
Yeah.
Because, we are mixing different classes, big type of classes, let's say.
So I don't think it is I think it is a subset. Right? It is not, I think it is a subset type. Not
there's no correct answer here. It's that's one of the problems with the OBO namespace tag.
Yeah.
In all kinds of different ways. So I mean, I would eventually like to get rid of this facet from Amigo and replace it with more meaningful ways of partitioning your ontology. And we will also at some point have an actual taxon filter here as well. So you could say, show me all the dicots and show me all the rice traits.
Right.
A taxon filter on the ontology page too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be cool.
We have that on the annotations, but anyway, I just wanted to bring this up because it does make reading this a little bit complicated. So
that is fine.
Yeah. So we can think about this some more as we move ahead. And so, Justin, I know you have to leave. Maybe we should talk about the APIs, and then we'll come back to the other stuff that's on the list.
Okay.
Thanks for joining this morning.
Sure. I mean, I guess I don't know if I have a whole lot to say. It's basically there. The Seth committed changes to add the API functionality to Amigo. It took a little bit, but I got them merged into our version. So they're working. There's a weird proxy Apache issue where the front README page won't show up, but all the actual JSON pages that we actually care about are working fine. Yeah, if you click on that one, you can...
Oh, that looks kind of weird today. Is that what it's supposed to look like?
It just means your browser's not formatting it, but...
You can get a plugin so that all JSON is formatted, but...
But I mean, this isn't meant for human readability anyway.
Of course,
it's meant for a computer to read. But as far as we can tell, it's working. Justin Priest and I are going to be playing with it to do testing out how well it scales, how well the autocomplete works, all that kind of stuff.
So the goal for this is to integrate this into BISC or ISO, whatever they're calling it right now, or what they're working on.
The BISC and ISO stuff will use the Amigo API to be able to do stuff like autocomplete and pull in definitions and automatic term lookups, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily going to live on its own. It's going to live as part of Amigo.
Okay.
Right. And so it's not, and it's not only the BISC that's going to be used. These would be our generic APIs and everybody who's using.
Right. The stuff that I'm doing with Botong will also use it.
Yes. And so as any of the tools that probably CO community uses, these would be the standard APIs for them because ontologies would be served from here.
Yeah, one of the things that it took a while to figure out was it is set up so that anyone can access the JSON from their own app. We had to open up, it's called cross-domain requests for that to work, but it should be set up so that anyone can access it.
So is this going to be a working thing that goes in generically embedded in the original Amiga?
Sort of. I have to, it's not on by default. I have to tell it to start it, but I can make that part of the loading scripts or whatever and stuff to make sure that it runs as a separate service on a separate port.
No, but my question was that it would it be generic enough that is always distributed as part of the Amiga?
Yes, as of the commit that Seth made a week or so ago, it's in the basic Amiga master Git version.
Well, and once you switch it on, it's pulling from the same Golar database, so it will always be in sync with what is in Amiga.
Yes, perfect.
Right. I mean, yeah, you have to tell it. Well, I mean, you can tell it to pull from a different database if you want. Mm-hmm. But and one of the other things is that I cannot get this to work on browser.plenty on the live site yet, just because it requires a schema change because of the ID space being added. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that would require a full reload. So when we go do another reload, it'll be ready. Okay. But I can't just add it to the live site yet without doing a reload.
Well, so we've got it working on dev, though, and so that's good. We can kind of troubleshoot it. And
is the service that Botong and you're working on, is that rolled into this now, the Golar numbers, or is that a separate service?
My understanding is it's rolled into it now.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And do you have what you need kind of for moving on for this, or do you anticipate kind of some more additional features from Seth?
I think Botong and I have, I think, what we need as long as the same stuff from the GNS is in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're having separate issues with doing the statistics where we need to talk to an actual statistician to figure out what we're doing wrong. Priest might want to be adding more stuff, but that, I don't know exactly what he has in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I can help with the stat stuff, but just in terms of priorities, I suggest that Seth's next task for March is working on the relationship types. That, okay. I said this was probably a priority for now.
We mostly needed a skeleton framework for us to get.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not what's holding us up. So.
Sure. Okay, great. So we'll have Seth work next on extending the set of relationship types.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that'd be really good to get that functionality back. So maybe before we move on, Justin, you and I were working on a little issue that we ran across yesterday, and I don't know if you ever opened the tracker.
No, I didn't. Sure, I can mention
it. You might just mention it.
Chris, in the we were pulling in plant ontology and as part of my plantium.owl, and then plant trait ontology was getting pulled in, and it had an import statement to pull in the Perl po.owl.
Mm-hmm.
We were having a weird, I guess you could call it a race condition, where the definitions weren't being updated because the PO.owl was out of sync with the dev version.
Right.
Amiga would display the wrong, the non-updated version, unless I switch the order in which it loads them in the Plantium.owl. Is that expected, or is that...
It shouldn't be order dependent, but let me just check and understand. So this is because the TO, the full TO imports a subset.
The full TO is importing the live version, which was made in November.
Right.
This is sort of started last week, and we also need to change that so that we can get the dev version in. And then
this is purely a dev version, dev issue. It should not, I mean, this is you will always get the right results for a production instance.
We should, yeah, because everything should be synced up at that time.
But when we're developing stuff, we need to. It was really confusing the last couple of days because some of the definitions were updated and some weren't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we figured out, we did quite a bit of work on this yesterday and figured out it was because it looks like what's happening is it's either overwriting.
Well, no, it's the opposite. It's whichever definition gets into solar first is the one that stays there.
And then it doesn't replace it. So if the TO is loaded first, then it has the older version. Okay.
But the fix here is catalogs. So this is why we use kind of Perls, because it makes it very easy to map a logical name to an actual physical artifact. So what you can do is you can have in your catalog, I don't know if you're using a catalog already for the loading or if
no, we're not. I tried a year ago when we initially started setting this up and I couldn't get it to work, but
yeah.
I can revisit it.
It's a kind of an annoying XML format. I wish it was just a YAML file or something, and maybe we'll switch to that in future, but the standard used by Protégé is the XML, so it's kind of useful to use the same thing. What I think you can do is you can basically do like a redirect within the catalog, and you can say Perlobo library da 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 po.owl, and then you can give a URL,
and have it go to the dev version.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even though if I actually went to the Perl link on like a browser or something outside,
yeah,
mm-hmm. catalog's not being read, then it would go to the old version.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So you're talking about during the Amigo load, right?
Yes, but you can do exactly the same thing in Protégé. You can use exactly the same catalog file. So what you would do is you'd maybe have checked into GitHub in a sort of like dev section or somewhere, your catalog that maps all your logical names to the dev versions of each of those. And then you can see the exact same thing that you would see in Protégé in Amigo. When I say you, I mean you, LOL, as a sort of ontology developer, would see the same thing that you would see in Amigo. So
it would help with syncing up
Amigo
and Protégé, what everyone's seeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Chris, this is kind of a related question. How do I change it so that it's when we work on TO that it's got that's pulling in the dev version? Would that catalog
exactly the same way? Exactly the same catalog file.
Yeah, which I don't really know what you're talking about the catalog file, but it's something that we can set up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can help with that.
Because the problem is if we create a term obviously you understand what the problem is. If I create a term in the PO that I need for a trait, it's not there in Protégé.
What he's saying is this should take care of it. Instead of going to the Perl PO.owl, the release version, your computer will automatically redirect it to the dev version.
But
just for your computer, that's what the catalog file will do.
Yeah. So just a note of caution, though, I would recommend going for more frequent releases, especially for these interrelated files, because what you could end up doing is importing a PO term into the TO from the dev version of PO, making a TO release, and then your TO releases ahead of the PO and referencing something purely from the dev version, which is not catastrophic, but could cause unusual issues for your production version.
I agree. I would actually like to be pushing these out about monthly minimum right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've just been dealing with a lot of technical issues in the last since PEG and trying to get these other files set up, and maybe we could have another chance to talk with you about exactly what the steps are involved in doing that, because I don't think. I'm not sure if Justin and I know exactly the steps that have to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, how we set this catalog file up is important too. So
one of the thing is because we're basically in control of when we do releases for all of these, we are in control of scheduling them so they're all released together, basically, right?
Together, that would be what I would think we should do,
I mean, that's kind of a separate. I mean, we could have them. It's nice to have releases more often, but if we're actually really worried about just the releases, then we're doing them. We're in complete control over them anyway.
Yeah. You just have to rely on your own discipline then to push you ahead of the PO. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think our plan as we move forward is these would be released together, no more like separate releases. And
So if the IRI visit is coming up, maybe we should do that next, actually.
I'm sorry?
Maybe we should skip the OBA part for now if the IRI visit, IRI visit is coming up.
Yeah, it's next week.
Very quickly. Yeah. Like Thursday.
Real quick.
All right. I'll stay on listen until I got my camera focused on my driveway. So as soon as the repair guy gets here, I'll probably take off. But
that's great. Well, thanks, Justin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the meantime, I think, Justin, you have the iPlant version running, right?
Yes. Right now, it actually matches the live, browser.plantium version. It seems to be running a little bit slower, but not terrible performance so far.
So did you inform them?
Can't remember. No. No, I didn't. I can.
Go ahead, yeah. Tell them that this is which we are looking at, and here's some of the bottlenecks we have.
So one of the things that it's still set, I didn't change it, add any new C names to the URL. So right now it's at draco.cyverse.org.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we want to change it to eventually. Like for the PO, we had, iplant.plantontology.org as a mirror. But I didn't want to do it yet because I thought the goal was that iPlant would be actually hosting the live version.
Yes.
So we would move the browser.plantium.org domain to the iPlant server.
The whole website. So plantium.org should all be running from there, including your Drupal.
Oh, all of it. Okay.
Everything.
Okay, I have not worked on getting the Drupal up, just the Amigo stuff.
So I don't know, we might need a domain transfer?
Yeah, but I mean, we can do that pretty much at any time. I mean, it might take a day or two for me to get a hold of Chris and get or Chris Sullivan and get that all worked out. But it's not that part's not that complicated. But I'll work on getting the Drupal stuff up there too. I didn't work on that. I just got the Amigo.
Yeah, for now you can actually have like cyverse.plantium.org. That's not
Justin, could you stick the link in the chat for us and we could just
look
at it real quick. Oh, there we go. And Draco's the server, is it?
Yeah, so, Draco just happens to be the name of the VM or whatever that we're on that they gave us.
Yeah.
I mean, they did the same thing for the Plant Ontology one. It was a Segovia, I think, was the server name.
Oh.
I don't know where they're coming from. It's kind of like Cold Springs with their cheese servers.
Yeah. So it'd be kind of nice. So you took the blue bar off, it looks like.
Oh yeah, you asked me to because now it actually is matching the live one. So I took it off.
That was a little confusing.
I mean, that's just a configuration change that in the Amigo.yaml to change that put that back.
So, but other than the performance issues, it looks like everything's working fine.
Yeah, like I said, performance wise, it's not. It's slightly noticeably slower, but not a huge amount.
Yeah.
Are you using kind of Ansible to deploy these?
Sorry, Chris, we can't hear you.
No, I'm not using Ansible. I just for now, I mostly was just I had to make sure all the Perl modules and all that kind of stuff was there. I basically just did it all by hand.
Yeah.
And I just used I just took a tarball of the SolarDB and then copied it over.
Mm-hmm. Right. Justin, I just looked at the graph views from the term detail pages in PNG and SVG. They didn't work.
Oh, okay. There's probably just more Perl modules that I missed that aren't working. So, okay. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Feel free to, if you see anything else like that, just let me know and I'll get it what. Get them working.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we should go back and talk about the Erie trip. Since that's coming up this week. Marie, do you guys, in Elizabeth's email, she mentioned there was an agenda?
Yes.
I just got it today.
Maybe someone could share that with us.
I could do it.
That would be good.
Do you have a screen?
Oh, I don't have a screen.
Marie, do you want to share yours? I can stop sharing. Could we look at the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. So
I mean, it's still a draft.
Yeah. You want? Do you want to? I can stop sharing, and you can share your screen, or you can.
I'm not on the call.
Just virtually. Ah, there we go. That's great. Thank you.
So just the agenda has been produced before we know that Austin will be coming. So yeah, so first we will just basically the goal of the travel is to have the data annotated and to have the threat dictionary in the final version. Mm-hmm. So for the threat dictionary, what mainly Leo will have to do is to add the breeding threats to the threat dictionary, because for now we have only threats that are used for characterization. So the threats that are in the gene banks, that are used in the gene banks and not in the breeding program stuff like that. And for the data annotation, we would like to identify the data sets that could be of interest for Plantium. So I believe this is mainly the gene bank data. But I know that they have also two other databases. One is a breeding database that is named a breeding for rice. And so this database is very similar to to the kind of data they have in the BMS. But they have also a third database, and this database contains the 3K genomes of rice.
But there is no trait data for that.
I don't know.
There is just a sequencing data. There is no
okay.
There is no phenotype data, unless that seed packet that was sequenced have the phenotype evaluation data in the IRGC collection.
And that's probably the case. Really, the agenda is just a rough agenda. So first we will introduce Plantium and the BMS. And then they will introduce the different database that they have. And then we will work on the threat dictionary. We will work on validating the mappings that we have, the mappings between CO and TO.
Yeah.
And then there is the annotation, data annotation part.
So I would say that on day one morning, Austin should present Plantium, what the project is about.
Okay.
And he can also, later on in the afternoon, he can give a overview of how he did an experiment on bringing the data for lentil and cassava. Right? So show them how you did it so that they understand what are we trying to achieve.
Yeah, I think somewhere in there I'll have to give a background on the GAF2 format.
Yeah.
And how we use it for our purposes.
Yeah, right. So we're planning to have the data annotation related subject on the Tuesday.
Okay, that's fine.
So you can have the Plantium introduction on Monday and then all the data related, the specificity related to the data annotation will be on Tuesday and the other days.
That works for me.
Okay.
All right. And the bigger question was, people are already saying that they are not familiar with GAF format, which is absolutely fine. And Austin would tell them what the GAF format is.
Yeah, cool.
There's a lot of information that goes in column number 16, but it looks unstructured, but it is not, because there is a data relationship types there in that column. So information is actually structured. It's not present in separate columns. That's a different aspect that you're looking at.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe...
And for the phenotypes, do we need only the phenotypic data, I mean the phenotypic values, or do we want also to have the data related to the environmental condition?
Everything.
Everything. So, and do you think everything can fit in the GAP format?
So I don't think there is... that is the situation, is we unless we have seen the data, what is there. What I would say is that right now you have the phenotype data, means your trait and your observed scale or variance, including your method. And then you have location from where the original seed came from, and where, what is the location of the assay, phenotype assay, right? And then if there is additional metadata associated with any treatments or things like that, then that is fine too, provided they are sometimes they do not show that information in IRGSEP database that they have. They just generally have, this is the phenotype score, and this it was from, and the seed is from so and so country or city, and that's all they have.
Yeah, for the characterization data, yes.
Right, so I would say this should be the very first pass, whatever we did, the very first pass for lentil and cassava, but try to have access to additional metadata about that seed packet if you can, and we can, we may do it, I can try to log in from here and have a meeting when you guys are presenting. If not, then bring that data with you. Additional data in either tab delimited format or something, and then we can go back and evaluate how to do it, how to fix that data in and present it. My idea is also not to present if they may not feel comfortable giving you everything.
Yeah,
that's it. But whatever they can give us, to a maximum possible, we should take it and also find a stable link that you can link from our database to theirs.
Yes, okay.
And if they have any images or anything, try to have access to the images.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yes. So that would be another way of looking at it. So these are the IRGCC packets, but they have... and they used to have another database, which was IR64 mutant collection. They had about 65,000 mutant lines on those, and they phenotyped them. I don't know where that data is right now, but you can ask that.
Okay, can you send the name of the database?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
And they have the C4 project, right? So they are evaluating a lot of mutants in that collection as well. Where rice is a C3 plant, but they're mutating it randomly to see if any mutants show up closer to C4 physiology and like a corn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if they have the data for that, I would love to see that, how we can. I think that should be one. And then I don't know about the day two morning, which is Gobi. It is still a black hole for me. I don't know exactly what the Gobi is. So try to learn as much as you can and see if whatever I have heard so far, it is like a back office creating the templates and field books in a standardized way to capture all the breeding data and the nursery data.
Yeah.
Phenotypes and things like that, right?
Yes.
I think it is more about providing the tools rather than collecting the data.
Yes.
That's not a mandate, but we should push for them to start using TO and CO in their various other ontologies that we do provide.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah.
So Marie, maybe you could scroll down.
Yeah, that's all.
That's just
all this. Breakout group, the decoration, data annotation. Yes, that's
all. So they'll work. Yeah, so then people can work together.
Yeah. And we will, and during our visit, we also asked to visit the gene bank. We asked to go on the field. And we also asked to see their equipment or, the phenotype, the high throughput phenotypic platform. Yeah. So we asked for those visits. So probably during the afternoon or I don't know, whenever they want.
They're doing some, putting some sensors on the automated or very autonomous vehicles. Or on the drones to go into the field and collect the phenotype information on the plant physiology, soil physiology, and plant and features like leaf architecture, leaf numbers, plant height, and things like that.
Yeah, and phenology also.
Right. So take a look at what kind of data sets they are capturing. And how we can translate that data into our annotation workflow, including ontologies.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And are we going to try to have a call while you guys are there? We were looking at the time difference yesterday, and it actually looks kind of doable. If we did our, if we did it at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 in the afternoon, it'd be morning there.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility if you guys want to, but I don't know what day would work best. And maybe you won't know that till you get there.
Yeah, probably. So we will let you know when we know, but we can say Tuesday, for example.
Yeah, Tuesday's our regular day, so.
Yeah, but it will be Wednesday morning for you, I think.
Yeah, it'd be Tuesday for us.
Right. No, we'd have to do it Tuesday. We'd have to do it Tuesday afternoon to be Wednesday morning in the Philippines. Yeah. It's the other way around.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of just let us know, what would work, and we can work around that. I think it would be good if we could have a little chat while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And Austin, you may want to work with the their staff to give you if they want to share the data, phenotyping data in some standard format or closer to what we have received so far for lentil and cassava.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it is a standard workflow at all the CGIAR systems, then we can generate some kind of an automated script.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that will be working for Erie because Erie is not using the BMS. Mm-hmm. And the data we got from cassava and lentil were from the BMS. So maybe the format will be slightly different.
Right.
Yeah. So, but they can always dump the data in the format that you would need to.
I can reformat the data. I mean, I had to reformat the lentil data as well. So it's all doable. If I just need to know what it looks like, what they look like, what it looks like when they collect it.
Right. So all your effort should also be like finding the exact ID or I don't know if it's an internal ID or whatever. It's an external exposed ID of the exact site. It means you can call IR64. There might be 100 seed packets, but you need accession for which seed packet was actually phenotyped. So make sure you have the real ID, not a PIID or some other IRCC.
Yeah, and they have an old system in Erie for dealing with the seeds and give them accession. So, but it's different from the one from Genesis, but I believe,
they can figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Any other discussion about the trip?
I'm fine.
Okay. Okay, well, We're kind of at the end of the hour, so I don't know what you guys want to do. If you want to,
do you want to show some of the changes that you guys are trying to do for the ontologies? Great.
We could. It's just it's getting a little bit busy in the office here, so we could leave that till the next call. I wondered if Chris wanted to talk about your OBA thing, or do you want to leave that?
I don't really have time, so.
Yeah, I know we're getting kind of down at the end of the hour. The only other thing that I wanted to bring up that I think is important today is we're working on an abstract for a workshop at ICPO. And so Pankaj and I will talk about that this week and circulate that to the group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking is that we are also trying to host a similar workshop that we did for a week here. It can be before or after the ICPO. And so that all the Planty folks, we can invite them back and have them go through the process and actually go, then they would be able to attend the meeting. So they will see what other folks are trying to do. That adds more value for that purpose. But Mari, Angelique, and all the Chris, the kind of work that you have been doing with your mapping, I think we should present it as a proceedings paper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At the ICPO, and then if as we mature, we may be able to do it a full paper somewhere.
Yeah. And of course,
The extract for bio curation has been accepted, so I will give a talk for 20 minutes.
Wonderful.
Yeah. All right. So we got lots of things going on.
For next time, we should put Chris's OBO thing on the top.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
So our next scheduled meeting will be the 16th or 15th.
Are you guys back by then?
Yes.
Yeah.
I will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully,
I might decide to stay. So,
also, I'll take up rice instead of potatoes now. Yeah.
So that one would be OBO from Chris, and then you guys would give the updates from Erie Trip.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Good. Thank you.
That's great. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Good meeting.
Bye.
Bye.